Brethren, on October 19th of 2019, there was a 20-year-old mentally ill fella who visited a zoo in Delhi. During his visit, he wandered through the zoo. He visited the monkeys, visited the zebras, the camels, all the different things that you visit at a zoo. He eventually came to the lion enclosure. At this point in his tour of the zoo, he decided that it'd be a good idea to evade the security and all of the safety measures surrounding the lion's den. And he entered the lion's den. He jumped over the security fence. He walked down the moat. He walked across the moat. He walked up the moat and eventually came face to face with the lion in the den. He was looking at the lion. He was kind of pretty close to the lion. At one point, he got so close to the lion that the lion swatted at him with his paw and kind of knocked him over. The man didn't appear to be nervous, didn't appear to be anxious to have the lion there in front of him. The people that were at the zoo said the man seemed to have no fear of this lion. At one point, the man actually laid down next to the lion. Well, obviously, the zoo officials were a little bit concerned, and they instituted what they call their fast reaction team. The man was eventually removed from the lion enclosure. According to a couple of news articles I read about this lion incident and the lion issue here with this mentally ill fella, they said that a couple of years earlier, another fella entered the white tiger enclosure, and it didn't turn out as well for that man. He did not come out of the white tiger enclosure unharmed. And that's when they put in this fast reaction team in the event that this were to happen again. So apparently Delhi's idea of fast reaction and what I consider a fast reaction are a little bit different, because if you read down through the article, it took them 15 minutes to even get to the lion enclosure to get this man out. So the question becomes, why was this man unharmed by this lion? Their fast reaction took them 15 minutes to get him out of there, and he was face to face. And again, the people at the zoo that were watching said, had no fear. So many wonder, even to this day, why the guy was not harmed. Nobody really knows for sure. Some speculate that this particular lion was raised in the zoo, was never in the wild, so it never learned to hunt. It was always fed by the trainers. They said that it never learned to kill. Whatever the reason, the man was definitely fortunate to walk away from this situation with certainly his life and all of his limbs. This news story brings to mind another story of a man who found himself face to face with a den of lions. This man was not mentally ill, nor did he make a conscious decision to actually climb over a security fence, cross a moat, walk across the moat, up the moat, and a span of grass to sit next to a lion. He didn't make that conscious decision. However, the man that we'll talk about a little bit today did make some deliberate decisions that he knew would literally get him thrown to the lions. There's a couple similarities in the two stories. What is similar in the two stories is the fact that both of these men walked away unharmed. They were up close and personal with some pretty vicious creatures, and they walked away unharmed. What is different are the circumstances which led each of these men to come face to face with lions. The other differences is our understanding of how the second man, which we'll talk about here in a few minutes, how he entered that lion's den and escaped unharmed. We know why the second man escaped unharmed. We may never know why the first individual got out of that lion's den unharmed. I've entitled the sermon today, Daniel Gave Thanks, But Why? Daniel gave thanks, but why? So we know the simple answer to why Daniel gave thanks is that God tells us to. God tells us to give thanks no matter what circumstances we are facing. We know from 1 Thessalonians 5:17, you don't necessarily need to turn there, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it tells us in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God tells us that we are to give thanks in everything. We know that we give thanks through our prayers. We also give thanks to God when we behave according to His laws, according to His commandments. We give thanks to God when we act as a light to the world, as we are told to do in the book of Matthew. Brethren, we know that there are many ways which we can show God that we are thankful, in many places in the Bible that tells us that we are to direct our thanks to God. We'll take a look at just a couple of those verses. You don't necessarily need to turn there. I'm going to go through them fairly quickly. These are well-known verses that we read on a regular basis regarding being thankful. Colossians 4:2. Colossians 4:2 says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful." Psalm 106 verse 1 says, "Praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever." Psalm 107:21 says, "Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for mankind." And then in 1 Chronicles 16:9, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people." So today we'll spend the majority of what's left of the sermon time in the book of Daniel, chapter 6. We'll see, and as we read through Daniel 6, that Daniel exemplified the idea of 1 Chronicles of making God's deeds known among the people around him, as well as 1 Thessalonians 5, giving thanks in all things. As we read through the 28 verses of Daniel chapter 6, I'm hopeful that we will gain understanding of Daniel's commitment to God. Daniel was a committed man, unwavering faith to God. And we will also hopefully see that the impact that his obedience had on those people around him, specifically the king. Let's begin in Daniel chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 10 to kind of set the stage. And then we'll go back to verse 1. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. It says, "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before." So many people will read this verse of scripture and maybe we focus on the fact that Daniel was committed to prayer because he prayed three times a day. Some might read that and say, well, Daniel was a thankful man because it tells us here that he gave thanks. Certainly, both of these assumptions would be correct. However, I believe maybe a more important lesson in Daniel 6 is the fact that Daniel was a man of faith. He was a man of faith. He was 100% committed to following God and his commandments. So you might ask, you know, how do I get that out of verse 10? How do I look at verse 10 and say that Daniel was a man of faith? Well, certainly we know that when we pray, we have faith that God is going to answer our prayers. But this situation goes deeper than Daniel having faith that God's going to answer his prayers. If we look again at the beginning of that verse, it says, "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published." It was after he learned that that decree was published that he went and gave thanks. So one would say, well, that decree must have been something that was positive for Daniel, something that inspired him to go and to give thanks for. The question was that decree favorable? For those of us that remember the story of Daniel and the lion's den, we know that it wasn't. We know that the decree that was signed by King Darius was not a positive thing for Daniel. And we know that the decree soon would create a pretty serious life and death situation for Daniel. The decree ultimately led to what we know in the Bible is the story of Daniel in the lion's den. Let's take a look at Daniel verse 1, going to the beginning of the chapter now. Daniel 6 verse 1, it says, "It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss." So a satrap is a weird word to say a governor or an administrator, somebody that was put in charge by the king to help rule over the kingdom. We see here that Daniel was over the satraps and was one of the three administrators, top three administrators in the kingdom. God had truly blessed Daniel. God had placed him in a position where his example of being a man of God would have the potential to not only influence the people around him, but influence the guy at the top, the king. Daniel had proven himself to the King Darius before, which is why King Darius kept moving him up, so to speak, in the ranks. Verse 3, it says, "Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom." So again, Daniel had made quite an impression on King Darius. Daniel was that employee that we would all like to have. Not only did he do his job well, but he conducted himself differently than many of those around him. We know that Daniel was a man of God because of that. We know that he followed God's laws. We know that he followed God's commandments. We know that he didn't compromise on his beliefs. You can read that in several different places in the book of Daniel. But because Daniel set himself apart, he was promoted by the king. Now, typically a promotion is a positive thing in somebody's life. However, it can also be a negative thing as well. It can have negative consequences when you get that promotion and those around you who wanted it did not get it. We know in business it can be very competitive, cutthroat. The job market, everybody's vying for those top jobs. It was no different here for Daniel. Things were no different for Daniel, and those that around him saw that he is being promoted, they came up with a plan. Take a look at verse 4. Verse 4, it says, "At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find ground for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent." So the other satraps and administrators, knowing that he was going to get the top job, they wanted to take him down. They didn't want that. They wanted the job. They wanted to be able to go to the king and say, "Daniel did this," or "Daniel did that. You may want to reconsider. He's not the guy for the job." But as we read in verse 4, they didn't have anything on him. They were playing dirty to get the job that they want, that the king wanted to give to Daniel. The problem was, they didn't have anything on him. Daniel was a trustworthy man. He wasn't corrupt. He wasn't negligent. Since the satraps and administrators couldn't find any fault with Daniel, they needed to up their game, so to speak. They needed to play hardball. Take a look at verse 5. "So finally, these men said, 'We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God.'" See, they knew that he was a man of God, so they couldn't get him for being negligent, so we're going to get him by something to do with the law of his God, as they say. Daniel made that impression on those around him. They knew he was a man of God. They knew that he kept his commandments and his laws. They knew that he prayed. They knew that he trusted that God was going to take care of him. They knew he was a man of faith. In verse 6, here's what happened. Verse 6, it says, "So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, 'May King Darius live forever.'" Playing to his ego here a little bit. "King Darius, live forever," buttering him up. Verse 7, it says, "The royal administrators, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed," they all talked, "'We're going to you, king. We all agree that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god of human being or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den.'" Verse 8, "Now your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." Verse 9, "So King Darius put the decree in writing." Here we see that the satraps and crew, so to speak, were able to pull the wool over King Darius's eyes. They got him to sign this decree. We'll later see that it was probably unlikely that Darius was thinking about his friend Daniel when he signed this decree, because he knew that this would ultimately be a bad situation for Daniel. Take a look at verse 10, which we read earlier. Here it says, "Now Daniel, when learned that the decree had been published, he went upstairs and he prayed." The windows were open. as we read earlier. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. At this point, Daniel had known that the decree had been signed. He didn't try to hide his prayers. He didn't necessarily pray in public, per se. He was in his room, but the windows were open. Clearly, he knew he was going to be caught. But knowing that he was going to be thrown to the lions, if he got caught praying, it didn't stop him. He still prayed to God as he did three times a day, it said. Think about the amount of faith that must have taken Daniel knowingly praying with the understanding that if he were to be caught for obeying God and praying to God, that he was going to be thrown to the lions. Daniel had to know he was going to be caught. And the satraps knew they were going to catch him within 30 days, right? Because the decree expired in 30 days. So they knew it was going to happen pretty quickly. They probably didn't expect it would happen the same day the decree was signed. At least we assume that it was the same day. It doesn't necessarily tell us that. One of the things I find interesting here is the fact that during Daniel's prayers that he gave thanks. He was going to go up and pray. He learned about this decree that if he got caught, he was going to be thrown to the lions. And he goes up and he gives thanks to God. Now we know from the scriptures we read earlier that we are to pray always. There's no qualifier. We don't stop praying if there's a chance we're going to be thrown to lions. God didn't say that. He said pray always in all circumstances. Now we could make some assumptions as to what Daniel was thankful for. It doesn't necessarily tell us in that particular section of scripture, but he was probably certainly thankful for all of the blessings that God had given to him. He had put him in a place of leadership in the kingdom. Certainly everybody around him knew that he was a man of God. Daniel had risen to some high ranks in the kingdom. We will see that he was respected by the king, and most likely he was probably even a friend of the king. Daniel was thankful for having the wisdom to understand God's laws. He clearly had trust that God was going to take care of him. However, if I knew I was going to be thrown to the lions, I might give thanks, but you know, you might pray for something else. You might pray for maybe protection. Maybe that the king would change his mind that this decree isn't going to go forth. But Daniel gave thanks. Daniel gave thanks. Daniel had the faith and the courage to continue living God's way of life and praying three times a day with the windows wide open, despite the fact that he was going to get a trip to the zoo, so to speak. And in this case, he was again going to be on the wrong side of that lion enclosure. Verse 11, it says, then these men went as a group and they found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So Daniel gave thanks, but it also tells us here that he did ask for some help. Maybe he did know that he was going to be thrown to the lions at that point and ask God for help. Just tells us help. We don't know what specifically that help was. Verse 12, it says, so they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Here they said, did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human being except to you, your majesty, would be thrown to the lion's den? So it's funny how they phrased that as a question. They knew the answer to it. They're the ones who got them to sign the decree. Probably had a smirk on their face. They knew exactly what the ramifications were going to be for Daniel. Did you not sign a decree? We found him. He's over there praying. Verse 13, it says, then they said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. Verse 14, when the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. At this point, the king knew what he did to his friend Daniel. The king realized that he'd been duped, so to speak, by the administrators and the other satraps by getting them to sign the decree. The men were relentless. Verse 15, it says, then the men went as a group to the king Darius and said to him, remember, your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed. You can almost picture the smirk on their faces, maybe a little bit of laughter. You can't change it. You signed it. We got Daniel. They were probably pretty excited at this point. Verse 16, so the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. It's interesting that the king tells Daniel that he's hoping that God rescues him. Daniel certainly made an impression on the king. He knew he was a faithful man, and it appears here that King Darius had some inclination that he's going to throw him to lion's den, but he's hoping he's going to be okay because God's going to protect him. Verse 17, it says, "A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed." It was a done deal. He's in there. He's not coming out. Verse 18, "Then the king returned to his place and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him." It says here he could not sleep. The king was worried. It seems to be evident that the king had developed some sort of a friendship with Daniel. He was upset that he had signed this decree that has now put his friend in the lion's den. We do not know that the king fasted per se. It says he didn't eat. I don't know that he fasted as we would consider fasting. Maybe something we can ask in the kingdom. It's probably evident that the king at some point did see Daniel fast, so maybe he did. We don't know. At least I don't know. Maybe it's someplace else in the Bible that I'm not aware of, but it just says that he did not eat. Verse 19. So the king's up all night. He's not eating. He's not enjoying his normal entertainment. He couldn't sleep. Verse 19, it says, "At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den." Verse 20, "When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" He still had some hope that Daniel might be okay. He's calling out to him. You can kind of imagine the suspense waiting for the answer. Verse 21, Daniel answers. Interesting answer. Daniel said, "May the king live forever." Can you imagine the relief that the king probably felt when he heard Daniel's voice? I would imagine that the king was maybe a little bit surprised by the response that Daniel gave. May the king live forever. He had just thrown him into a den of lions. He comes to check on him next day and tells the king to live forever. Again, another example of Daniel's faith, obedience to God. Here was clearly a demonstration of forgiveness that all those around would have seen. Daniel said, "May the king live forever." He didn't question the king. He didn't yell at the king. Didn't appear to be angry with the king. He said, "May the king live forever." The king's hope that Daniel would not be harmed came true here. Verse 22. Daniel says, "My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done anything wrong before you, your majesty." Maybe that was a little dig. I don't know. "Yeah, God protected me. You threw me in here. I didn't do anything wrong to you either, king." I don't know what his attitude was. It doesn't tell us. But he wanted to make it clear that Daniel was, at first and foremost, gave credit to God for saving him. But he also took the opportunity here to remind the king that he had never done anything to him. Daniel was a faithful servant. He was faithful to God first, but clearly he was loyal to the king as well. Verse 23, it says, "The king was overjoyed." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in God. Brethren, when we trust in God, he takes care of us. He took care of Daniel. Look at verse 24. Look at verse 24. Here's where the satraps kind of got a little taste of their own medicine. "At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all of their bones." we really see the impression that Daniel had on the king. Take a look at verse 25 as we come to the close of the story here. Verse 25, it says, "Then King Darius wrote to all nations and peoples of every language in all the earth. He said to them, 'May you prosper greatly.'" Verse 26, "I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and have reverence for the God of Daniel. For he is the living God. He endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed, and his dominion will never end." The king saw the great power of God, the way he protected Daniel and brought him out of the lion's den. Verse 27, it says, "He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." Daniel was definitely a light in this kingdom. His obedience to God, his trust in God, his faith was seen by the king. The miracle that God had performed on behalf of Daniel was definitely seen firsthand by the king as well. This caused the king to acknowledge the power of God, and he broadcast that to the entire kingdom. And now for the fairy tale end of the story of Daniel. Not that coming out of the lion's den isn't pretty fairy tale ending in and of itself, but it gets better. Verse 28, it says, "So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian." So because Daniel was faithful, because he was obedient to God, he was saved from the lions. The king recognized the power of God. He shared that with the entire kingdom. And in the end, Daniel prospers. What a demonstration of the power of God and why we want to obey and follow him. Take a look at Proverbs 3, verse 1 as we begin to wrap up the split sermon this morning. Proverbs 3, verse 1. It says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity." As we reflect on the story of Daniel, Proverbs verse 1 and 2 of chapter 3 definitely came to fruition for Daniel. He kept God's laws, he kept his commandments, he was protected, and he prospered. This was because Daniel was faithful to God. God performed that miracle in Daniel's life. Continuing in verse 3 and 4 of Proverbs 3, it says, "Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man." It doesn't appear that Daniel ever lost faith. He knew he was going to be thrown to the lions, but he continued to pray to God despite the potentially dire consequences he was going to face. And not only did he go to pray, he gave thanks to God despite this dire situation. Continuing in verse 5 of Proverbs chapter 3, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." Brethren, as Satan the devil roars around like a lion looking to devour us, it will be our trust in God, it'll be our faith in God, it'll be our obedience to God that is going to save us and bring us through to the kingdom. Although we may never literally be thrown into a lion's den, we are certainly walking around in one every single day by this world that is controlled by Satan and his demons. Hopefully we can find at least some inspiration in the story of Daniel to keep our focus on God, never to hide our faith from those around us. If we remain faithful, we know that God will see us through and bring us into his kingdom at the return of Jesus Christ. We know that we may face some difficult circumstances in the new year, but never let us forget to give thanks to God and have complete faith that he will take care of us.